Okay, today's daf is Lamed Hey. We're starting at the very bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Bet at the words Gufa, five lines from the bottom. Gufa. We ended yesterday with this brayta, so now we're going to go into it and try to understand it better. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Echad Hayam Emalei Midama Tarovet, She'im Yishafechecha Mehem Nimtza Shehu Machshiro. Okay, so what would they do? Imagine Beit HaMikdash, Korban Pesach, they slaughter all these animals, they put a pekach, we're going to see, they stop up the drain on the floor. They don't want the blood to go down the drain. So they stop up the blood, okay, you can imagine the blood, level of the blood rising on the floor. Now what's the problem? The concern is that maybe some of the blood that of some of the sacrifices never got put on the mizbeach, brought on the mizbeach. So what would they do to make sure, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would put a cup on the floor. Now, we always say when you have stuff mixed up, liquids, you can assume it has a bit of everything in it, okay? So if the Kohen goes onto the floor, scoops up a cup of whatever blood is mixed up on the floor, the assumption is that there must be some blood in there that was from the slaughtering. Now, remember, there's two types of blood that come out of the animal. There's the blood dam ha-nefesh, which is the blood you're supposed to bring on the mizbeach. It's the first spurt of blood that comes out. And then there's the dam ha-tamtzit, which is the blood that's further inside that comes out later. Now, what do you think the majority of the blood on the floor is from? The dam ha-tamtzit, because most of the blood that was the dam ha-nefesh was collected in cups, okay? So you have this mixture on the floor that's the majority dam ha-tamtzit, a little bit of the dam that you need to put on the mizbeach. And so you have this mixture, and what does he do? Picks up a cup, scoops it up, and brings it to the mizbeach. And that way, if there was any animal whose blood wasn't put on the mizbeach, here you've taken some combination of everything that's there, and we could assume that some of the blood from what he needed to, that korban, that animal needed to be presented, was presented.
Really?
There's a bunch of problems with this, yeah.
I thought we learned last week or 2 weeks ago that unless it went from the kli and then it fell on the floor, then you can't collect that.
If it falls directly on the floor, it's a problem.
If it
falls from the kli, that's why I said there's going to be a lot of problems here. Number one, if it was never collected in a kli, how can you bring it on the mizbeach? Okay, that's number one problem. Or I don't know if it's the first problem, I think it is. Right, it's the first problem. So there's another problem, which is, I'll give you the two issues, okay? Number one, the problem is, if it was never collected in a kli, then you can't use it once it spills on the floor. It would have to have been collected in a kli. Number two, we have dine bitul, right? Like, things are canceled in larger quantities. So we have bitul berov in general. So if you have the dam ha-nefesh mixed with the dam ha-tamtzit, and it's mostly dam ha-tamtzit, the dam from the inside, but you can't bring on the mizbeach. So the majority of what you have is not the dam that can be brought on the mizbeach, and it should be canceled. So therefore, when you bring it on the mizbeach, you might say there's a little bit of it in there, but it should be canceled compared to the bigger dam ha-tamtzit. So the first question they asked is, Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, halo lo nitkabel b'kli. Okay? In other words, it wasn't collected in a kli necessarily. Minayada. So the question is, how would they, he says, how do you know it was never collected in a kli? So they say, well, shema lo nitkabel b'kli. In other words, they weren't saying, for sure it wasn't collected in a kli, but they say it's possible that in all that many acts of slaughtering, maybe some of it wasn't collected, it was never collected in a kli, and therefore you can't fix it that way. Marlahan, afani lo amarti ela kishin nitkabel b'kli. I was only talking about a case where they collected b'kli. Now, obviously, they're going to say, but who gufe minadiyada? How on earth are you going to know that all the bloods were collected in a kli? So he says we can make an assumption that they were. Why? Because koinim zrizim. Koinim zrizim, meaning they do their job right. The assumption is they didn't make a mistake about that. Now,
wait.
So that's true also. But it's even a contradiction to this, because what's the issue? We're worried that the blood spilled. So what does he claim? Koinim zrizim. Now, when you're zariz, this is a great line. When you do something, you want to do it so much, sometimes you
overzealous.
So if you're overzealous, what's going to happen? Avdin haya, they do it so fast. Haya is fast. Umishtaprin, and the blood spills out of the cup. Okay? So in other words, they're very careful about collecting it in the cup, but when they walk, they do the holacha, it's very likely that the blood might spill out because they're rushing. Okay? So, in other words, their zariz causes sometimes another problem. So, in other words, we can be sure that the blood was in the cup, but it very likely had spilled.
V'halo. So that resolves question number one. V'halo damatamtzimu ravbo. And how could you then, it's going to be canceled to the damatamtzid, and you're going to end up, remember, the damatamtzid is the inner blood, not the blood that spurts out right with shchita. And you're supposed to use the regular, the dama nefesh, not damatamtzid. So what do we say? Rabbi Yehuda l'tameo, that's okay, because Rabbi Yehuda himself holds damar damatamtzid kari dam. He thinks that damatamtzid is called dam, and therefore, if we're going to say that dam is not mevatel dam. In other words, right, you have min bimino, we've said, doesn't cancel it. So you end up with, since we call that dam, that's considered. How do we know this? Titanya damatamtzid ba'azhara. Okay, now this is talking about achilat dam, eating the blood. You're not allowed to eat the blood, ki adamu anefesh, this is a separate thing, but they're connecting the what you call it. So according to Tanakama, damatamtzid is only a warning, and it's forbidden to do, but you don't get karet. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'karet. He views it the same as dam anefesh. Okay, so he calls it dam, for the purposes of, you know, when the Torah refers to dam, so therefore also here it will work. And as, again, what does it mean? It won't work on the Mizbech, but there's no problem bringing it on the Mizbech, and it's not even that. It's that the other blood won't be canceled out into that blood. Okay, so therefore, even if you have a little bit of the blood that needed to be sprinkled on the Mizbech, that's sufficient. Vahama Rabbi Elazar, but wait, doesn't Rabbi Elazar say that Moda Rabbi Yehuda Linyan Kapar Sheino Machaper? Shenemar ki adamu anefesh, dam shenefesh yotzei ba karoi dam, she'en anefesh yotzei ba ein karoi dam. So the truth is I jumped the gun a little. First they're saying that it's okay to use damatamtzid on the mizbech, and that will provide with kapara. Then they say, no. He can't possibly say that, because he, you know, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you don't get kapara from damatamtzid. It's, yes, it's called dam, but you need for the mizbeach, dam shanefesh yotzebo. You need the dam hanefesh. And therefore, the answer, like I said before, Ela Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei da'amar, ein dam bevatal dam. Okay? The dam won't cancel out the other dam, so even if there's only a little bit, it's fine. Amar lehem Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda counter questions them and says, wait, but lidivrechem, lama pokikina zara. According to me, why did they put the pkak in the drain so that the blood would collect and we'd be able to make sure we didn't lose the blood from any korban and we collected some combination, right, of all the blood. We bring it to the mizbech and we solve any problem in case any of the cups got totally spilled while the kohanim were rushing. But according to you, what would be the point of putting the pkak in the azara? The assumption is everyone agrees they put a pkak in the azara. So the question is, why would they do that? So here we're going to have a very strange thing. Amru lo, according to Chachamim, the reason they did this, you're going to be a little grossed out. Shevachu lebnei Aaron shiachu adar kuvotehem badam. It's a shevach for the Kohanim that they walk, it's praiseworthy for the Kohanim to walk up to their knees in blood. Okay, like I've mentioned many times, and you go to the Zevach HaShemuni, you see them all with blood on their bodies and all that, and it seems quite odd. But they're saying, be proud that you have the blood of the sacrifice on your legs. Okay, it's great. Okay. Two answers are given to what's so great about this. So either you say, look how amazing amount of blood people are sacrificing. It's a reflection on the people of Israel. The other option is that the Kohanim are up to their knees in blood and they're not disgusted by it. Normally, you'd be disgusted by such a thing. And the fact is, they're proud to be walking in blood. Okay, again, it sounds a little gross.
It's also a very strange pasuk that they're using for this. Because isn't this the one...
Which pasuk? For which?
That one.
Oh, about the dam hu anefesh.
Because that's the one that they use when they say you can't eat blood.
Right, it's true.
So it's a strange pasuk to use for this.
Right, why would they use that to say, right? So why do they connect those two? I guess they just assume if they talk about dam there and they talk about dam there, then the dam there is the same dam as there.
And they're saying specifically don't eat the blood.
Right, exactly. But again, don't eat the blood. Why don't you eat the blood? Maybe because also you have to present it, you know, you have to put, right. Okay, that's a good question. I don't know enough about that. Okay. V'ha dam havechatzitza. Wait a minute. How could they be walking in blood? Remember, there can't be anything between the kohanim and the floor. Here they're walking on blood. So what do they say? Lachu, v'lo havechatzitza. It's liquid. Liquid doesn't create a chatzitza. Ditnan, how do we know? There's Mishnah that says, hadam v'hadyo v'hadvash v'chalav, yiveshin chotzitzin, lachin en chotzitzin. Okay, if you have blood and ink and honey and milk that kind of hardened, then it would be a chatzitza. But if they're not hardened and they're liquid, then en chotzitzin. V'ha kamitvase manayhu. But don't their clothes get dirty? Remember, what did we say? Utnan hayubukadav metush tashim v'avad avodato psula. If their clothes are dirty and they do the avoda, their avoda is pasul. Ah, so now they're going to have to say, v'chitema d'medaluluhu. Maybe you'd say they pick up their clothes, so their clothes don't get dirty. They just walk up to their knees, but they pick up their clothes. What's the problem with that? What did we learn? V'hatanya mido kimidato, shelo yachsar v'shelo yotir. Remember, you can't have the clothes be, they have to be the exact right length, and they have to go to the floor. So you can't pick them up. So what do they say? They walk in the blood when? Not during the avoda, because it'll passel the avoda. They do it b'holacha le'evarim la'kevesh. They do it when they carry the evarim that they're supposed to burn on the mizbeach. Remember, the korban pesach, you eat the meat, but some of the evarim have to be burned on the mizbeach, right? We always talk about haktarat evarim. So it's when you're bringing the evarim la'kevesh of the mizbeach. De'lav avodahi, because that's not avoda. They say, v'lo. Walking the Evarim to the Kevesh isn't avoda. The Hatanya, now remember, we talked about mainly four avodot. It's not one of the four avodot. But they're going to still say it's still considered avoda. How do we know? Because it learns from this pasuk, v'kriv aharon et hakol, which means, with the reference to that, according to the Braita, is zoho lachat Evarim lakevesh, which means it's part of the avoda. So therefore, they say, okay, so it's not for holachat Evarim. They're not allowed to walk in the blood then. When do they walk in the blood? They say when they go bring the wood to burn, to make the fire on the mizbeach, that's not an avoda, and then they walk up to their knees in blood. Now, obviously, the question is, well, where do they walk the rest of the time? In other words, they obviously leave the blood on the floor, and how are they walking to do anything else?
The question is, at that point, they get dirty, and they're still going to have to do more avoda, whether it's that day or the next day. I mean,
in other words,
problem.
Then their clothes will be dirty, so what are they going to
do?
Right, that's a good question. How do they clean their clothes after that? Right, you can see that this is purely a theoretical argument. It's a little hard to understand. Okay, yeah, it's a good question. Okay, so then we're going to ask the more basic question, which is, well, if you have the pkak and you have all the blood, so ula avoda hechi azle, so when you have to do the avoda, though, where do you walk? Right, you can't walk in midair. So azlea itzdebe.
But that's what
okay.
Like
so what do they claim?
Not on the floor.
No, yafe. So what does Rashi have to say about this itzdeba? Itzdeba od gvohina yusham. Binyan avanim, there were these avanim that were kind of raised off the floor, and they were, according to Rashi, enan chotzitzin demina ritzpahin. They're considered part of the floor. The floor had these, I didn't get a chance, but I'm pretty sure that I've seen in those Beit HaMikdash books, in the picture books, if you have any in your house, you can go look. I think that they have pictures of these, I seem to remember these square stones on the floor, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I have to go look and see. So, and it would be based on this, basically, that they had these stones that were raised off the floor, and that was to make sure that the blood level, you know, was below.
If the blood was up to their knees, these are very high stones.
No. When they did the avoda, and then you have to think, maybe it's more obvious than why they tripped if they were rushing, and why the blood spilled. If they're walking from itzdeba to itzdeba, is when they do the avoda, they're walking from itzdeba to itzdeba, and they're high. When they do the etzim l'maracha, that's when they go up to their knees in the blood to show, oh, look how great we are, that, you know, look how that we don't care about the blood, or that the people have so many sacrifices, that
it's
there's
really
so much blood.
Kind of fascinating, because a slaughterhouse is one of the most horrible places to be in.
Yeah.
And yet,
and the Beit HaMikdash, the most holy of places,
yeah,
was the slaughterhouse.
They were wearing white, but did they not have bleach?
Right.
What did they do?
Right. Yeah, well, that's why if you go see the Zevach HaShomrini, you really imagine it, because they're all dressed in white, and they've got red all over their clothes. It's really...
That's a Ruth's question. Is a good one.
Yeah.
How do they go to the next one?
Right, exactly. Right. They must have had a whole laundering facility there also. I don't know. Okay. Now comes something very important. I have to correct a mistake I made, okay? I finally figured it out today that when we talked about Pigul, okay, I'm very sorry I didn't understand this properly before, but when we talk about Pigul and the Kohen is Mefagel the Korban, if you remember, what did we say? He has a Machshavah Chutz Lizmano while he's doing Shchita, let's say. Okay, so he thinks I'm going to eat it. Then we said he doesn't, there's no Karet until he does, right until the Zrika. So Aviva suggested, and we were also talking about that, well, at that point then, why does the Kohen just forget about it, and then he won't have the issue of, if you don't do Zrika, so he won't get Karet. So I messed up. The Kohen doesn't get Karet. Okay? Pigul means that the meat is pigul, and you can't eat the meat. And that's if someone had the wrong machshava, and the rest of the sacrifice went through, and you then eat the meat, you get karet for eating the meat. It's only the person who eats the pigul. Pigul's not only with im ha'achol ye'achel, mipsar zevach shama, right? And that was the whole, I forget the rest, no, I think I'm confusing the other pasuk, but im ha'achol ye'achel, that whole pasuk about pigul is all about eating the pigul. It's not the kohen. The kohen doesn't get carried for doing it. That's why there was also something that didn't make sense to me, which is we said the kohen himself doesn't become pasul la'avod, which makes sense. And how could he get carried and not be pasul la'avod? So it makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry that I messed that up. We have to rethink how we understand pigul now. Pigul is just an isur achila of the meat after pigul happens. Okay, after you're mafagel the korban and then you do the zrika, you finish the process. If you then eat the meat, you
so
get kari.
It's two separate people. I mean, the kohen has the machshava.
Yeah, and someone else eats it.
The
exactly.
And the kohen therefore has to tell them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the point. You have to be very careful about what meat is what and who eats what meat and what it is. I mean. In general, you had to be careful. There was korban shlamim. There was korban.
Bring
you know.
The meat to the guy who sacrificed and said, "By the way, here it is. You can't eat it." Or was it just
right?
It
so
out
I assume the kohen would make sure it gets
destroyed.
But
why give it to him? Right.
No, he wouldn't give it to him.
So
I assume.
So then nobody's eating it.
Right. Well, we don't know what happens. It depends who's running the Beit HaMikdash and whether they're careful and whether they're not. You know. In other words.
But if they don't know,
they make mistakes.
Getting courage.
Right.
Just a thought.
For sure. Right. So if it's just a thought, that's why the shita is more common to say it was ba'amira. You have to remember, let me just review the machloket. The machloket is Rashi and Tosfot say it's amira. The Rambam calls it machshava, and people infer from the Rambam that he meant that it's even if you just think it, not if you say it. It's not 100% clear that the Rambam actually thinks that. So the idea that it's only by machshava is a more narrower shita. Okay, most people think it had to have been said.
Well.
Right, and it had to be intentional. So,
but regardless, the korban is pasul.
What?
The korban is pasul at this point.
Right, the korban is also pasul. Okay? Hashochetet hazevach le'echol davar she'en darko le'echol. This we already learned. If you slaughter the sacrifice in order with the intent, right, to eat davar she'en darko le'echol, okay, you say, I'm going to eat it. Or lahaktir davar she'en darko lahaktir. In other words, I'm going to eat the parts that are supposed to be burned. Chutz lizmano, okay? It's kasher, or chutz limkomo, right? If you have in mind, you're going to be maktir, something that you're supposed to eat and not burn on the mizbeach, right? Maktir is to burn the mizbeach. So it's also kasher, right? You flip which is supposed to be which, it's not a problem. Rav Elazar posel, okay? He says, no, it's pasul, okay? Lechol davar shadarko le'echol, ulaktir davar shadarko le'aktir, pachot mi kezayit kasher, another exception. Let's say you say, I'm going to eat less than a kezayit. Okay? Chutz lizmano. Well, that's kasher because there's no shiur. Lechol kechatzi zayit, ulatir kechatzi zayit kasher. What if you say, I'm going to eat a chatzi zayit, I'm going to burn a chatzi zayit, right? I'm going to eat a chatzi zayit of something I'm supposed to eat, chutz lizmano, and I'm going to burn chatzi zayit of something that's supposed to be burned, chutz lizmano, they don't combine. She'ein achila v'aktara mitzterfin, and therefore you don't have a full kezayit of iser, and it's kasher. Hashochetet, remember I told you, there's going to be a lot of exceptions in this parak. All these cases where it's not going to be pasul. Hashochetet hazevach le'achol kezayit mina or, mina rotev, mina kipa, mina alal, mina atzamot, mina gigim, mina karnayim, mina tzlafim, chutz lizmano v'chutz lizmano, kasher. All these parts are not considered major parts of the animal. The or is not edible. The rotev is just the sauce, the gravy. It's not the meat itself. Mina kipa there's a bit of a debate. Is it just spices or is it the spices and the bit of the meat that remain at the bottom of the pot, which isn't really anything? Min ha'alal is this tendon in the neck. We're going to talk about the alal in two contexts. Here we're talking about a tendon in the neck that's not edible. Soon we're going to use the alal in a context that's going to be obvious that it wasn't edible. So obviously there's two different alalim here that are, you know, discussed. Min ha'atzamo, bones, that's not food. Min ha'gidim, from the sinews. Umina karnaim, from the horn. Umina tzlafim, of the hooves. Okay, if you have an intent to eat any of these things, which either aren't really part of the meat, aren't the meat itself, or aren't edible, chutz lizmano v'chutzim kamo, it's kasher, because there's no pigo by something that isn't eaten. Ve'ein chayavin alehem mishum pigo v'notar v'tame, and you're not chayav pigo or notar or tame, right, if you eat it after the zman, or if you're tame, remember, tame person who eats the meat, you know, the meat is gets karei, but not any of these parts, because this isn't really considered the meat. Hashochet et hamukdashin. What if you slaughter an animal, a female animal, with the intent le'echol shliel o shilia, in order to eat the fetus inside or the placenta? Okay, bachutz, outside, lo pigel. Okay, that's not pigul, because again the shilia and the shliel, the fetus and the and the placenta are not considered part of the animal. Hamoleket hatorin, if you shech the birds, the doves, le'echo beitzehen, in order to take out their eggs, b'chutz, right? You have the intent, I'm going to eat the eggs, chutz lezmano or chutz lemkamo, lo pigel. Again, the eggs aren't considered part of the bird.
You mean eggs before they're laid?
Yeah. Chalev hamukdashin, okay, what about milk that comes from the animal? Ubeitzeh torin, and these the eggs from the birds. Okay, all the dini of pigol, notar, and tame are not relevant. Okay, we're going to start now in the Gemara with Shitat Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, pigel v'zevach. Now we're going to get a little more complicated than our mission. If you have pigol by a zevach, by an animal, nitpagel hashlil. The shlil is considered part of the animal. In other words, and this is why I figured out they were only talking about eating it. If you eat the shlil, since it was in the animal, when the animal became pigul, it's messed up. Even though, what did we say in the Mishnah? We said that if you have an intent, I'm going to eat the fetus, chutz lizmano or chutz lemkamo, that's not pigul. But if you say I'm going to eat the korban, the animal, chutz lizmano or chutz lemkamo, and then you eat the embryo, the fetus that was in there, then it is pigul. In other words, you're going to get karet for that. Okay, but b'shliel. But if you had an intent about the shliel, lo nitpagel azevach. Okay, then the sap. Right, if you think about the shliel, that was our mishnah. Then there's no pigul. Okay, by the sacrifice, pigel ba'alal. This is the part where the alal is edible. If you have an intent, I'm going to eat the vein. This vein, or what is it? It's a tendon. I'm going to eat this tendon, which is edible. Chutz lizmano nitpagla mor'ah. Okay, the mor'ah is the crop. It's like this bag in the throat of the bird or something. So the mor'ah would be included. But b'mor'ah lo nitpagel alal. But if you had intent to eat that part, which really nobody eats, then the alal is not included. In other words, this is what we're saying, basically. When you talk about the main item, everything that's not so important and people don't generally eat is included to the extent that if you do decide to eat it, you're going to get karet because you turned it into food and it was part of the bigger piece. But if you talk about, there's no such thing as pigul chutz lizmano or chutz lemkamo when it comes to that insignificant part that almost nobody eats. If you say, I'm going to eat that totally insignificant part that nobody eats or that isn't really considered part of the animal, chutz lizmano, chutz lemkamo, you don't mess up the korban. And that's not, since nobody really eats it, right? But if you were to eat it, then it would be, and you did pigul on the bigger part, then that would be included.
So pigul only works if it happens to be part of the animal already. In other words, right?
What do you mean it only works? In other words, if I say I'm not going to eat this animal, okay? And I say I'm going to eat this animal chutz lizmano.
And
inside that animal has a fetus. So, yes, when I go eat the fetus is part of it.
Yes.
But if I say I'm going to eat this fetus chutz lizmano, since that's not really considered part of the animal, I'm sacrificing enough to, right? And then We're not going to consider that pigul, okay? Okay, pigel b'imurin. Okay, these are the innards. Now, this is where you burn them on the mizbech. Nitpaglu parim. Okay, so if you say I'm gonna burn the imurim chutz lizmanam, right? I'm gonna burn them on the mizbech in the wrong time. So the whole animal becomes pigul. But b'parim lo nitpaglu imurim. But the imurim aren't meant to be eaten. So if I say I'm going to eat this animal chutz lizmano, and then you eat the imurim, even though they were supposed to be burned in the mizbeach, that's not pigul because that wasn't included in your machshava because no one thought you were going to eat it. It's the same concept here. You never, when the person said I'm going to eat this, they didn't think to include, right? Right. No, in this case, right, but parim lo nitpaglu, it's different than the others, right? They're not going to be included. Okay, now they're going to suggest a support for Rabbi Elazar. Lema maseyale. Vishavin shim chishe ba'achilat parim u'besreifatan lo asa ve'lo klum. Now we talk about the parim hanisrafim. What are these? We've come across them before. The par helim davar shel tzibor, the par kohen agadol, right? These are the parim and the par on Yom Kippurim. That, what happens? They burn. Okay, this is a unique halacha. We haven't talked so much about this, but we've talked about that they're chataot pnimiot, that you do the zrika inside. Most of the zrika is done outside mizbeach. It's done the inner mizbeach. But the meat all gets burned, but not burned on the mizbeach. Okay, and Ola, let's say, for example, all the meat gets burned on the Mizbeach, the outside Mizbeach. This meat has to be burned, very interestingly, outside Yerushalayim. It's like a unique halacha. You have to burn it outside Yerushalayim. It's not called haktara, it's called srefa. You make a fire. You burn it actually in this place called the Beit HaDeshen, which was used for the burning of these animals, and it was also used to take all the ashes. Remember, they do the Trumat HaDeshen, and they sweep out all the ashes from that day's stuff early in the morning. Remember, that was that early time period. It's the first thing they come in to do. So they would take the ashes, and they would put them outside Yerushalayim in this Beit HaDeshen. And also, they would burn the Parim HaNisrafim there. So if you had intent that you were going to eat the Parim, or that you were going to burn them, like lahaktir, lo asava lo klum, okay, that you were going to do it, chutz lizmanam, that's nothing, because the shreifa, when do you do pigul? In achila or haktara, and that's not relevant for the parim and nisrafim, because there's nisraf and not muktar or ne'echal. So, what are they going to say from here? How can this prove Rabbi Elazar? Because they say, what can you infer from that, though? Hachishev be'imurim. But that's only, right, we're talking about the parts of the animal that you would eat. But the imurim of this of the parim nisrafim, actually, right, those are the innards that you always take and burn on the mizbeach. So hachishe b'imurim, you would assume then, yes, nitpaglu parim. You could pigul it by, you can't pigul it by referring to the act of the strefa you're going to do outside Yerushalayim. Because that's strefa, it's not achila, it's not haktara. Pigul is only achila or haktara. But you can... The inference is, well, if there is part of it that can be muktar, which is the imurim, then you can be mefagel the animal by having the wrong intent about the imurim. And then the assumption is, if you're nitpagu imurim, nitpaglu parim, that would be mefagel the whole par. Any of the meat of the animal, if you would then eat it, it would be pigul. So they say, again, as usual, when we have this kind of, we try to bring a proof saying we can infer this. Oh, no, you can infer something else. Lo, hachishe b'imurim, nitpaglu imurim atzman. It only teaches you that if you did pigul on the imurim themselves would become pigul, but it doesn't necessarily teach you that the meat of the animal would become pigul. Right? We're distinguishing between the davar that gets muktar versus the rest of it, which gets, in this case, it gets burned outside Yerushalayim. So he says, just because the imurim, it's obvious from here that what is obvious is that the imurim, there can't be pigul by imurim. The question is, will we make the jump that Rabbi Elazar made, which is, if you do pigul on the imurim, you say, I'm going to be maktir of the imurim, chutz lizmanam, does that mess up all the meat of the animal or not? Right? So according to this, you can't necessarily, you can just say maybe the chashiva b'imurim would cause pigul to be on the imurim themselves and not necessarily on the meat. Okay. Tashma. Let's try to bring another. I think this is coming to the question on him. I forget because we're going to go back and forth between our different proofs. Yeah, I'll say, this is another proof for him. Parim hanisrafim usi'irim hanisrafim mo'alim behem mishu k'dishu. Okay, when does mi'ila hit in? As soon, which means, right, you can't use kodshim improperly, you can't get hana'ah from them, as soon as you designate them. As soon as you designate the par and israf or the seir and israf, there's din mi'ila. Okay, that's not so relevant. Nishchitu, once you slaughter them, then hochshiruli pasel b'tful yom mechusar kipurim u'belina. Okay, so we know the beginning, the tful yom, remember, until you slaughter the animal, it can't come, in, right, it doesn't become tameh. But as soon as it's slaughtered, so then it's mukhshar lekabel tuma, basically. So someone who's a tful yom or mukhsar kipurim is not allowed to come in contact with the animal. And the important part for us is bilina. Okay? As soon as it's slaughtered, it becomes pasul bilina. What does that mean? It means if you leave it overnight and don't deal with it, right? You're supposed to deal with it always that same day. Once the night hits, right, it goes overnight. Right, not with the beginning of the night, but if it stays overnight, like it sleeps, so to speak, that's why it says lina, then it's pasul, right? So now we can assume that what? That if it's pasul belina, then a machshava about it, now we're talking again about the nisrafim, the parima nisrafim, a machshava that you're going to leave it till the next day, right, and burn it the next day would be a problem. So my lav lina basar, Ushma mina, in other words, is it not talking about the meat itself will be disqualified by lina? And then we can infer that what? Migo de pasla belina, pasla ba machshava. We can assume that if we pasla belina, then we could pasul it, we would also become pasul b'machshava that you're going to leave it till the next day. As soon as you have the din of disqualifying it the next day, then we can already have a chutz lizmano psul, okay? Which would then prove, right, that how can you pasul the basar? It would have to be, you can't pasul the basar by saying I'm going to burn it in the wrong time, because we already said the burning in this case is sreifa. It's not haktara and it's not achila. So the only way would be, I'm going to be matir the imurim, chutz lizmanam, and then that would mess up the basar. Okay? So then the answer, they say, right, because the whole thing is we're trying to figure out if you have a machshava about the imurim, right, is the whole par also pigul, right? Do we go from a machshava about imurim to pasul the par itself? So they're assuming here that when we're talking about lina of, you know, the animal itself becomes pasul, which means that if you can have lina, you can have a machshava that pasuls it, which means the machshava about imurim will pasul also the par itself. So then they say, lo, linat imurim. No, you can just say the lina we're discussing is a lina relating only to the imurim and not having anything to do with the meat of the animal. There is no such din as lina, we're going to say now, by the meat. Then they say, but that doesn't make so much sense in the context there of that source, because Hamid Katane Seifa, that source says, Kulam mo'alim behem al beit hadeshen ad shu tacha basar. When they talked about Mi'ila, they say now, the Mi'ilo takes place, we started from Mishu Kdishu, until what point can you still have Din Mi'ila? Until it goes to the beit hadeshen and everything is entirely burned. Yutach means it's scorched. Once it's scorched in the beit hadeshen, then it's done. Then it's basically considered nothing anymore, right? Once it's, there's no Isar Hana'ah by, you know, ashes, whatever's left of it. But until such point, you can still have a din of Mi'ila. So what do we say here? Obviously, what are we talking about here? The meat. So therefore, this part must also be talking about the meat itself of the animal and not just the imurim. So Michal Duresha Linat Basar, right? So from there, you can infer that the Resha was also talking about Linat Basar, which would then prove our point about Rabbi Elazar, that if you have a wrong machshava about the imurim, that can mess up, it could be Mefagel also, the meat of the sacrifice. So what are they? Say, no, like we've said many times, midi iria hakadita vahakadita. Resha imurim v'sefa basar, and it doesn't prove anything. Again, we don't know which way we're supposed to read the source. We're just suggesting that there's two different possible readings. You can't necessarily prove Rabbi Elazar from here, because you could say that when it talked about lina, it was only talking about the imurim, because only the imurim can become pigul. And when it talked about the mi'ila, obviously then it was talking about the basar. And those are two separate parts. Okay, so we had two attempts to prove Rabbi Elazar. We didn't succeed. Motiv Rabba. Comes Rabba and brings up a question on Rabbi Elazar. Look at our Mishnah. A Braita. Ve'elu she'em mefaglin ve'em mitpaglim. Okay, the following list of things are things that can't mess up a korban. A machshava about them will not cause a korban to be pigul. And ein mitpaglim. They won't become pigul from you having a machshava about some other part of it. It won't cause that to become pigul. What's the case? Tzemer sheberasheh kvasim v'se'ar shebezakana tayasim. The tzemer and the zakana are attached to the skin. So the question is, right, there, the skin was generally burned with it. So if there was other things on it, okay, it's still part of the animal, but we're going to say they're not really considered important parts, and therefore, right, the wool and the hair on the goat's beard are not considered, right? They're not mitpaglim, and mitpaglim, if you have a machshava about them, or mitpaglim, okay, they don't become pigul. The other stuff, again, I don't know who's really eating this, but okay. But, you know, the machshava about pigul could be, I'm not going to burn them, right? I'm going to burn them in the wrong time, something like that. V'ha'or, and the skin that's not edible. V'harotev, and the, right, these are all the cases we saw before. V'akipa, the spices that were left at the bottom of the pot. V'ha'alal, that vein that's not eaten. V'hamura, that was that sock in the bird that people don't eat. V'ha'atzamot, right, the bones, and the gidim, the sinews, and the karnayim, and the tzlafim, the horns, and the hooves, vashlil, vashilia, and the fetus, and the placenta, the chelev hamukdashim, and the milk from the animals that are dedicated for sacrifices, ubeitzei torin, and the eggs from the birds, kulam lo mefaglim ve lo mitpaglim. Okay, notice, by the way, there's redundancy. We started up elu she'em mefaglim ve'em mitpaglim, and then we said kulam, all these things, lo mefaglim ve lo mitpaglim. Ve'en chayavin alehem mishum pigul. Oh, now we even said it a third time, okay? You're not chayav mishum pigul, no tarantame. Okay, this is really saying, not only you're not chayav pigul, but you're also not chayav for eating any of these things at the wrong time, right? No tar. Or if you eat these things when you're tame, you're not chayav. Or if you eat them if they became tame. Last line of the Braita, if you take any of these things outside, okay, generally, you're chayav, if you take something that's kodesh and you take it outside, right, you're chayav, in these cases, you're patur, okay, why? If you're ma'aleh otam, just one second, ma'aleh otam we mean here, right, ma'aleh mehem b'chutz, right, you're not supposed, these things aren't supposed to be brought inside, so if you're, right, if you basically burn these things outside the Beit HaMikdash, normally if you burn something outside the Beit HaMikdash, it's supposed to be burned inside the Beit HaMikdash, you're chayav karet. In this case, if you burn it outside the Beit HaMikdash, that's what it means, ma'aleh mehem, you burn them, nothing happens, you're patur, okay? Because these aren't important parts. So now, why is he bringing this as a question? Because what are we going to say here? My love, lo mifaglin hazevach, v'lo mitpaglin machmat hazevach. Okay, doesn't it sound like we're saying the zevach, right? They don't cause, if you have a thought about these, it doesn't cause the zevach to be. Now, what do we say? If you take the imurim, it will mess up the par. If you think about the, right, right, pigel bezevach, nit pagel hashlil. Remember, that's what he said. If you have a machshava about the animal and there's a fetus inside, the fetus will become pigel also. So if you eat the fetus, later, after you messed up the korban, you're going to be chayav karet. And here it sounds like it's saying with the fetus, right? Lo mifaglim azevach, ve'lo mitpaglim machmat azevach. That's the important one. They don't become pigul if the zevach became pigul. So lo mifaglim et azevach, ve'lo mitpaglim machmat atzman. They say, no, you misunderstood it. The way it should be read is, they don't cause the zevach to be mefagel, which matches Rabbi Elazar, right? Because he said, if you haven't thought about the shlil, that doesn't mess up the zevach. And lomit paglim, in which case are they lomit paglim? Machmat atzman. If you had a machshava about themselves, it doesn't mess themselves up. Okay? That would then match what he says. But then they say, yachi, hat katani sefa kulam lomit paglim velomit paglim, hatu lamali. He says, why do you think, and it's in questioning Rabbi Elazar, he questions him and he says, why do you think it repeats? In the beginning, no, and in the second, right in the middle, it says lo mifaglim v'lo mitpaglim. Why do you think it says that? Isn't it to come include something, which means they're not even, right? They're not mifaglim. It would say they're not mitpaglim machmat hazevach. Okay, which we disagree with Rabbi Elazar. They're basically saying the repetition comes to include more cases, and then it would include Rabbi Elazar's cases, and we disagree with Rabbi Elazar. So what does he say to them back? Filitamech. What do you need the third case for? And as you're saying, it says it two times because it's trying to add. So then, what's the third case adding according to you? Ella, so what does he say? Obviously, why is the third one there? The third one's more obvious why it's there. I did buy limitna notar vitame tana pigul. And as this third case was just to say, just like there's no pigul, there's no notar and tame. Hachanami, but you can say the same thing for the second one. I did buy limitna hamalemehem bachutz. Tananami v'kulam lo mifaglim v'lo mitpaglim. Okay, I don't 100% understand how this reads according to this, but they're basically saying, since you want to say that if you take these, if you have a machshava to burn these things outside, or you burn, sorry, if you burn them outside, you're not going to have an issue. They want to kind of preface that by saying, well, the lo mifaglim v'lo mitpaglim, as they kind of repeat it, to lead into the next sentence, okay? I'm not so convinced as to why those things connect, but I'll leave it at that. Okay, so that was, let's just review. We had two attempts to prove Rabbi Elazar from sources. We said, no, the sources could be read different ways. We had an attempt to disprove. He kind of answered it, you know, saying, it's not proven what you're trying to say against me. Now, Rav Amar Av Ananami Tanina. Rav says we can even see Rabbi Elazar from none other than our Mishnah itself. Okay, our Mishnah supports Rabbi Elazar. Remember, Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar the Emora, not a Tana. Right, there's also a Tana Rabbi Elazar. We're talking about the Amora Rabbi Elazar. So here we have a proof from our Mishnah for him. Hashochet et hamukdashim le'echol shlil o shiliya b'chutz lo pigel. V'hamoleket hatorim le'echol betzehem b'chutz lo pigel. Okay, so it says, if you shochet, right, in order to eat the shlil, b'chutz or all that, right, it's not pigel. You shech the, you know, you do the malika on the bird in order, with the intent to eat betzehem b'chutz, lo pigel. The Hadar Tane, and then it says, Chalev hamukdashim, the milk, ubeitzei torin, ein chayavin alehem mishum pigol, no tar v'tame. So what does that sound like? When it comes there and it starts saying, well, these things don't have pigol, tame, and no tar, it sounds like the earlier things that we mentioned, hashlil v'shalia chayavim, even though we said they're not pigol in the Mishnah, but what did we say? We said they're not pigol in which case? If you have a machshava about them. Then we said the milk and the eggs, there's no din of pigol by them. So what can that infer? That when it comes to the fetus, there is a din of pigol. When would there be a din of pigol then? If it already said, if you have a machshava about them, you're not mefagel. There would be a case of pigol if you had a machshava about the par itself or the animal, right? The animal itself, they had the fetus inside. Right? Not the parah. The parah would have to be a female animal. So, hashliv shaliach chayavim. Elalav shmam. Okay, so that's what they assume. So they say, no. Elalav shmam. Right. They're elalav shmamina. Right. So, therefore, you would have to say, sorry, this is how he explains it then in order to show his proof. Shmamina kamach mata zevach kamach matatzman. In other words, in the beginning, that's. How could you have a shliv shliyah? In the beginning it says it's not pigol. In the end it says it is. It could be pigol, and as we can infer it is. One is machmat atzman and one is machmat hazevach. In other words, machmat hazevach, it will become pigol. If the zevach is nitpagel, then the shlil and the shliyah also become pigol if you were to eat them. But if you have a machshava about the shlil shliyah, that doesn't make it pigol. And that now we actually have a proof for him. Okay, now we're going to bring a different Mishnah, which is going to relate back to the Braita that we quoted before about the Ma'aleh Mehem. The end of that Braita, Ma'aleh Mehem Patur. Tanan Hatam, it says in the Mishnah, Ubaalei Mumin, what if you took, you're not allowed to put a Baal Mum on the altar, but what if you did? Rabbi Akiva Machshir Bebaalei Mumin. He says, it's kasher, okay? If you put a Baal Mum, it's not disqualified. You leave it on the Mizbech. Okay, you leave it on the Mizbech. But I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, lo achshir Rabbi Akiva ela bedukin sheba'ayin, ho'ilu ksherim be'ofot. Okay, number one, comes Rabbi Yochanan, he says he was only machshir certain mum, the dukin sheba'ayin, the psul in the eye. Why? Because that was kasher in birds, it's not a mum for birds, so therefore, also in animals, if you put it on the mizbeach, we're going to view that mum differently. Okay, we're going to say it's also, you leave it. But then he adds, v'hu shekadam hakdeshayit muma, it's also only if, when you designated the animal, it didn't have a mum. It only got this mum after it was already designated. Okay. Now comes Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and he says, "I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Umode Rabbi Akiva beolat nekeva dekiman dekadim muma lehekadesha adami." Okay. So far, we're not connected to our thing yet. He comes and he says like this: Ola has to be a zachar, can't be a nekeva. What if you took an ola nekeva? Would you leave it on the mizbeach, or would you have to take it off? So he says, he agrees, in that case, you have to remove it. Why? Because the mum, in this case, it's not really a mum, but the fact that she's in a keva, not a zahar, makes her a mum for ola. Right, you wouldn't like this. It sounds like a woman, female is a mum. It's saying that for the purposes of ola, she's already disqualified before your magdishota. So already when you were magdishota, she wasn't relevant for an ola, because an ola has to be a zahar. So therefore, it's like kadimu malek desha. Okay? Mativ Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera now questions can make a crazy inference, I think. Hama'aleh mehem b'chutz patur. What did we say here? If you take the shiliyah, let's say it's any of those things, but let's take, they're specifically talking about the fetus. If you take the fetus and you bring it outside and you burn it outside, it's patur. But what would it infer from here? Just the fetus. But ha me'iman, if it would be from the mother, it would be chayav. V'hechi mishkachala, and how could you possibly have a case like this where it would have to be all burned. Olat nekeva. They're assuming everything has to be burned here, and the only case where everything is burned inside is the olat nekeva. So it is the ola. So therefore, we'd have to assume if we're saying the fetus, no, it means the mother, yes. But what kind of mother is there in an ola? It must be. How can you have a female with an ola? They assume it's talking about an ola. So therefore, it would have to be a case of olat nekeva. And what do you see here? That you would be chayav, which means you would have to, right, okay, so let's read. Iyamar bishlamakasavu Rabbi Akiva olat nekeva im alta lo tered. If Rabbi Akiva would hold that once you put the olat nekeva, if you put it on his back, you don't take it off, then hamani Rabbi Akiva hi. This would be Rabbi Akiva, because the assumption is, right, hama iman yubi chayav. One second. Missing one thing. Right. This is the way it works. If you took the mother and you burned her outside, you be chayav even on the meat and not just the imurim. That's the point. That you be chayav even on the imurim. And therefore, right, what would be the case where you would burn, right, where you would burn the whole animal outside? And it's, the point is you're burning the whole animal. So that's why they assume it's an ola. Because you're saying if you would burn the whole animal outside, it would be, you'd be chayav. And if you'd say lo tere, then we could say it's Rabbi Akiva because right, because then you would say right, because it would have to be something in order to be chayav v'chutz, it would have to be something that could be karev bifnim. And if according to Rabbi Akiva you're not allowed to be karev the olat nekeva tere, you have to take it off the mizbech, then it would never be allowed to be burned inside. So it has to be a case where it would be allowed to be burned inside. When would the whole animal be allowed to be inside? Only, right, the mother, it would be an olat nekeva, right? We just said, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have to take it off. So if you hold, and he's basically saying you're wrong about Rabbi Akiva, because this would make no sense. So Iyamar, imalta tered, then this would be Rabbi, imalta lo tered, then this would be Rabbi Akiva. Ela Iyamar, imalta tered, you have to take it off, then hamane. Right? This doesn't go according to anybody. So what do you say? Oh, no. Eima hamale mehem b'chutz patur, doesn't mean their meat. It says, hamale mehem b'chutz, if you burn all the meat of this animal, the fetus, you're patur. But ha me imurei iman chayav. But the imuri, if you burned the imurim of the mother outside, you'd be chayav. Meaning, it's not an ola case. We're just talking about a regular, or right, the imurim of a regular case. It wouldn't necessarily be an ola. But they say vahamehen katane viiman dumia ditu. But what do you mean? If you're talking about the shiliyah, the meat, and then you're inferring for something to the mother, and you're saying the mother is only the imurim to take it out of this ola case and to have it not contradict Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't make sense. If you're deriving, it would be something just like it. Ela ema hamalem imurehem b'chutz patur hami imurei iman chayav. He then defines our mission as only talking about if you take the imurim of the animal and you burn them outside of the fetus, then you're patur, which would then infer if you burn the imurim of the mother outside, you'd be chayav because those have to be burned inside. And then we're not talking about an ola, and then it has nothing to do with an ola in the cave, and it doesn't actually contradict what Rabbi Chiya says about Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Shabbat shalom. Chag sameach.